Hello there, and welcome to the Last Horror Podcast. My name's Christopher Brown. What I want to do today is tell you about a story about a house that I used to live in. Now, this house was, in truth, probably an absolute dream. It's one of those places I really wanted to live in. It's in an area called Wavertree Conservation Area. Now, Wavertree Conservation Area isn't as grand as it sounds. It's part of time in Liverpool, and there's quite a lot of Liverpool that's like this, I think it's 11%. That's effectively trapped in time. The council have announced that to stop people kind of fucking the area up and putting bad design decisions in from their money, that it wouldn't be improved on. Well, not improved on. You're allowed to improve houses, but you're not allowed to kind of put things in that aren't in keeping with the area. So pretty much all these houses in this area are locked into how they were in the early 70s. Which is a version of how they were probably 100, 150 years ago, but modernised to a point. So you couldn't put a satellite dish on the front of your house, or you couldn't put, you know, new Scandinavian doors, that trendy as I can see at the moment, in. But, you know, you could repaint the front. You can change your windows to PVC as long as it's PVC in keeping with the rest of the windows down there. You can have double glazed. That's basically, so it's not like it's outrageous, because that, although wouldn't be available in the 70s, is still in keeping. But I wouldn't recommend trying to paint your door pink and with blue spots or something like that, or, you know, or again, as simple as just putting a satellite dish on your front so everybody around here has got cable, and everyone around here is slightly, and well, They love it because it means the area stays lovely and the same, but also mildly moaning because if they want to change the window, they have to give the council a chunk of money for them to tell them that it's okay. A bit like the styles of police, I suppose. Anyway, what it means is you have very quiet areas and it's all very nice. And we know for a fact that even though our home overlooks a playground, it probably will remain a playground for the foreseeable future. It also means that the houses do have some quirks from maybe some design decisions that were made in the 50s and 60s that possibly shouldn't have been made. So the house we lived in was a terraced house, or more likely, somewhere in between a terraced house and a townhouse. In truth, there was a fair few floors on it, and there was a basement. Now, the basement was sealed. Now, this sounds more dramatic probably than I've just made it sound. You know, it's not really that exciting, if I'm being honest. It sounds like, you know, there's this secret room and you can get in, it's all put in, but it's not. There's a door you can go down. What it means is, on the front of the house, where there would have been a window, and i.e. ways of moisture to get out the house, it had been bricked up and sealed up, not only with concrete from the top as well. Right, great. So, not a problem initially, but over 3 or 4 years, it becomes increasingly apparent that basement is getting filled with damp, and it's starting to affect. So, you don't go down in your basement very often. It's a bit like saying you go in your attic often, or, you know, if you've got a garden shed, you only go in when you need something. And there wasn't a lot stored down there apart from the lecky meters and bits and bobs of tools that I used to keep. So, when Laura, my wife, came up one day and said, "Chris, you've got a serious problem down here. I can see," she didn't describe it as such, but roots is what she described it as. But what it really was cellar fungus. Oh, Jesus. So that's a big, I wouldn't say a big job breaking out, but you know that there's a number of things that need to be done to make that somewhere better. What are they? Well, first thing I need to do is clear out all that cellar fungus, that bleach. I need to dry the area that I've bleached. I need to treat it with a wet rot treatment on all the wood. Wood hardener, if any of it's got a little bit soft. I need to make sure I know that bit's, you know, not too far gone. And if there's anywhere that's got a bit of rot in there, then, you know, maybe a little bit of wood filler. But assuming that it's okay, I'll probably still take the weight it needs to. Over a period of a few weeks, I started to work through in this basement. Now, to give you some idea, the basement isn't massive. It's the size of the living room and the hall, effectively. And it goes down. So the living room is fucking hell, maybe 5 meters by 8 meters, and that's kind of it. There's a small partition in there, and red. You know, it's all just brick. You can kind of work out where everything is because there's a fireplace and there's a little sash as well, which kind of joints out. So all the wet rot is cleared out from the bricks. It's cleared off the wood. The wood is treated and hardness put in. And all the time I've got my headphones in, listening to the radio. Saturdays. Done over a few weeks. And listening to, you know, the football or whatever. So I'm not really paying a huge amount of attention in there. I'm trying to work out, you know, what do we really need to do? I mean, some short-term solution is just get the fucking moisture out of there. So dehumidifier on the go. So we bought a, in truth, quite cheap, low-powered dehumidifier and put it in. Turned it on and it starts cycling the air and we start removing the water from the basement. It's taken a while. Now, that doesn't surprise me too much because there's a lot of water in there. You know, there's a risk really blowing bricks if you're not careful and these kind of things. Water gets in the brick. Can't get it. You know, it can't go anywhere because there's obviously not enough air circulation because the cell has been sealed. And it's and the bricks blow out, so that has a potential of weakening the walls. Although the reality is, we were lucky and it didn't really. It just made some kind of, it took some of the surface off. Anyway, a defibrillator solves that problem, and also solves all the problem on any of the wood that was the quickest way to remove wet rot or remove the risk of wet rot is to treat the walls and then remove the source of the moisture, which we're doing with this dehumidifier. What is worrying or concerning or annoying is that it's taken fucking forever to get the air, you know, to reduce the humidity down there. I mean, it really is a shockingly slow process. And it becomes clear why. So I'm very aware that obviously somebody at some point has realised there's been a problem in terms of the moisture in the air and removed one of these bricks from the front. And it now what that effectively means is, though, and what it's pretty clear is that they haven't sealed up the front. They've just basically, well, they haven't like filled it in, I should say. They've just sealed it up, so you've got a little, small little chamber in the front of my house, covered in concrete and bricked in. And so the moisture's still got nowhere to go. So what you've created is a little anti-room for the moisture to go and a bigger basement room. And all the moisture's just sitting in there. Oh, bloody hell, you know. It's really, really annoying because, like, well, there's nowhere for it to go. Now, a couple of options here. One is, I know we need to get air bricks in. I know that. But I'm not 100% sure it would solve that problem because it'd still be this anteroom. But I could do something. It wouldn't work this time of year at winter. But when the humidity goes down in the summer, if there's a couple of gaps in the concrete drilled in, the moisture would leave. You just have to make sure it's sealed up at points when it's, you know, really pissing it with rain. Otherwise, you're just going to be adding more moisture to the mix. But as long as the air is circulating, it will get out. And you just need to provide that exit. To really do that, though, I needed to understand what was happening in that space. So I needed to get into it. So I grabbed my torch. I shined the light into the gap. And I heard a rustling. Like a movement. A scratching sound, perhaps. More like something had shifted. But as if it'd been, you know, startled by the light. Now, if this was a ghost story and not something that happened a few years ago, I could turn around and go, I could have stopped it there, couldn't I? I could have stopped my story there. Ooh, exciting and terrifying. What's in it? Oh, And then he never left and he never went back and he was terrified. Fortunately, I bought the fucking house. It's my mortgage, so I couldn't do that. And I might as well tell you what happened next. I panicked and thought, oh, there's something in there. Which means something's burrowed in there and it's going to die in there. And I'm going to have to deal with it. And I didn't know what it was. I thought, first thing you thought, yes, it's probably a rat. To be honest with you. Or a mole. Do you have moles? It didn't make a lot of sense to me in truth. But when you're panicking and worried, you think to yourself, ah, shite. I need to fix that. Okay, so I'm not going to lie to you. I steadied myself somewhat. But the problem is, I needed to check that it was okay to remove the wall because they hadn't concreted over the top, then removed the original wooden truss. So if I start taking these bricks out, it could weaken the entire structure. And even though it's only a sash window, I'd have to rebuild the sash window, one wall of it. So from the outside it'd look great, but the inside, it had to be diagonal cracks across the walls. I'd be shitting myself. So, fucking hell. So, what I did was I grabbed my torch, got my hand, and then put it into the structure to basically move it upwards and check to see if I could feel any rot along at least the brick line of that first brick. It was then that I felt a cold hand touch my arm, just for the briefest second. I felt moisture trickling down and the feeling of dead cold flesh push against me. Now, if this was a ghost story, I could tell you again. And I left the house and I never returned. And ha ha ha, and that was up for sale. That's obviously not what I did because it had a mortgage on it and I couldn't leave. Can't leave. What I didn't do was tell my wife. So don't hold that against me at that point. But I explained to her that there would need to be work to be done. What I didn't do was decide just to seal it up. Get builders in to put air bricks in. And then forget about it. What I did instead was start to remove the bricks from below the truss and test each one. Now, I'd love to turn around and say, and every time this ghostly hand came up and touched me, but the reality of it didn't. And not only that, I was kind of thinking to myself that I was probably being a bit stupid at this point. You're standing in a cold, wet, literally wet, cold basement, middle of winter. Day probably very much like the day you're listening to this. And moisture and condensation probably trickled down my hand. I had touched the brickwork from the outer layer of the house, which now I could see as a little archway. And that cold hand, and just tricked myself and just acted like an idiot, basically. So, what I did, I'm not convinced this wasn't the dumbest thing I've ever done, was slowly create a small gap that I could clamber through, examine what was going on in there, and try and work it out. It felt to me, at least, that there probably was something in there, but what that something was, fuck knows. So that's what I did. I removed some things and got the torch in, and I couldn't see a lot. The gap inside was a bit bigger than I was expecting. What I was expecting it to be was maybe, you know, a couple of feet across and 4 or 5 foot wide. The size of a, you know, not four, maybe two across and 3 wide. You know, the size of a small sash window. It's not a big space with a little bit around it as well to have the air in. I mean, the design of it isn't particularly exciting. It's just designed to get some moisture out of the truth from the house. But obviously it's dead dark in there, and I could see the little brick archway from where the design of the truss to stop the front wall collapse was already there, and there was just a gap. So I kept on digging. It wasn't big enough for me to climb through in the end, so I had to remove more than I'd have liked to get a proper look inside. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I was freaking out anyway. I didn't believe there'd be, you know, great Aunt Matisha in the back. But I did think there'd be something, or something I didn't want to see, at least. The problem was, there was something in there. When I finally excavated enough of the wall, which had took me all day, I was hot and tired and sweaty and fed up. Removing bricks is no fun job. You have to slowly take the masonry out with a chisel and then push it. Not only that, I needed the bricks to kind of remain their shape, so I had to be careful and slow. It was hard and arduous work. So when it was finally done, and I shined that light into the gap, it took a while for my brain to process what I saw. Dirty rags. A skeleton that had been there far longer, probably, than even 40 years. A wild mix of tangled hair, broken fingernails, rotted flesh, and a rictus scream on the face of the corpse. There wasn't a lot I could actually understand in terms of the detail of what was happening there. And the reality was, I had no indication or wish to be staring at it for too long. But some things were clear. It appeared to me that somebody decided to brick up that building, that space, maybe 60 or 70 years ago. And for that to be true, every single person that lived there had probably had the same frightening and unpleasant experience themselves as they tried to solve the problem of the damp in the basement. And indeed, when we went back to the land registry later, we discovered a turnaround time in the house of 4 or 5 years, sold again and again, either by auction or cheap sale, and turned around fast. It didn't surprise me when we bought the house from a builder who'd flipped it in over a period of 3 or 4 months. That would be perfectly normal. But it probably would have been more of an alarm bell ringing thing if I'd bothered to go back and check beforehand the fact that it had been sold 4 times in the 10 years before. So, reader, what do I do? Do I try and exorcise the house? Remove the ghostly spirit that appears to be within the walls itself? Do I call the police and show that I'll never be able to sell the fucking thing? Do we get archaeologists in there? Do I try and solve the mystery myself and save the poor maiden that's been trapped in there for years? Who knows what sex it is? I'm meaning pretending that's probably a man killed his wife. Who knows? That's probably just the patriarchy speaking. Or do I do the same thing that every other person has done for 50 years? Reader, I do that. Slowly but surely, I bricked in that poor spirit back into its tomb. I left one brick left for the next person to find. On the off chance that they decide, and maybe they should be the ones that decide to put air bricks in, to solve the mysteries of the house, to free the ancient spirit that's hidden in that wall and that conservation area. But I'm not that man. And this isn't that ghost story. So I sold and moved. And the cycle still continues in that home in Weybridge Conservation Area. A mystery conserved still in time in the brick. One that won't be freed with permission from the council. thank you very much for listening. Yeah, as you can tell, I haven't put anything out for, I think it's 8.5 months, maybe 9 months. I think you can have a baby in the amount of time it's taken me to get around to release another podcast. And I apologise for that. I really do. The quick answer to that is that I haven't been fighting demons in my basement. What I've been doing is creating community cinema spaces for part of international art exhibitions in Liverpool from, well, it was all summer. It was August to October. And then when October came around and finished, I took 6 weeks off. When you say 6 weeks off, that suggests that, you know, I'm you know, recuperating from my exertions. But the reality, of course, is that you're doing the cinema stuff and I'm working my normal job as a civil servant and doing all the other myriad of other things that you have to do just to kind of get through your weeks. And this, I've only got time for one project, and this is the project. But all the, what I will say is all the kind of elements that are in place that kind of create the project are starting to flip back into position. Insomnia has returned. Yay. The need to kind of get stuff out and write stuff again is starting to return to me. And I don't have a cinema that I need to build and maintain and sell tickets for every Sunday. So it's likely we're going to get returned very soon, probably over Christmas time, with Dawn of the Dead. And we're going to continue with the George A. Romero theme. So there's that. But all I can give you is my apologies. I'm really sorry. I know people are, you know, I've been contacted by a fair few people who've said, are you coming back? And I've always kind of said, yeah, they am, yeah. And, you know, I've not done anything really. Yeah, so sorry about that. There's other things as well. My computer died, and when I bought a new one, all the other stuff's on my old computer still, as in the notes and even the theme, which is why this one hasn't got the theme, because I thought, you know what, just fucking the weekend before Christmas, just get something out, you know? So that's what I did. Anyway, we will return properly soon. You know, I can't wait to do Knight Riders, you know? Anyway, it will not be before Christmas now, though, because we are right in it, aren't we? We're in the midst of it. So have a lovely Christmas. If I don't speak to you before New Year, I'd like to have a lovely New Year. And the last horror podcast will, I promise you, return in 2019. Take care. God bless. Merry Christmas.